The opinions expressed in the Continuation Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Continuation Podcast. Great to have my listeners back in for the third installment of this season, or the ninth episode, of the Continuation so far. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope everybody who's listening is having a great week or had themselves a good weekend as well, depending on when you were listening to this. And without further ado, let's just jump right into it. You know what we do? First part of the episode is always a weekend review for the NBA and NCAA right now. Not too much going on in FIBA, I would say, up until the Olympics. Once we start getting closer to the Olympics at the end of the semester, we'll look into that a bit more. But for now, let's just jump right into the NBA. So this past week was the week of Monday, February 26th into early March. Let's talk about that on Monday. These are some games I wanted to highlight. The Raptors beat the Pacers 130-122 in Indiana. You know, this was an impressive win for the Raps against a pretty young and talented like Pacers team. They got some pretty great talent, I would say, overall. In this one on the Raps, Scotty had a triple-double. He had 21 points, 12 boards, 12 assists, and 5 blocks to add on to that triple-double. Quite the performance there from him on both ends of the floor. Congrats to Scotty for that. RJ Barrett, the Canadian, shout out him. He had 24 points, 5 assists, with 69% field goal, shooting 69% from the field, which is outstanding. And we talked about this player last week for the Raps, Grady Dick, coming off the bench. He had 18 points in this one, and it's been the difference between the Raps kind of staying close to these better teams. You know, Indiana's pretty decent. But when Grady Dick plays good and we get those points off the bench, you can see the Raps do well. Now on the other side of the coin, for the Pacers, Siakam, former Raptor, he seems to play well against us. We played him twice, or the Raptors have played him twice since he did get traded to the Pacers. He's thriving there, but in this one he had 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists against his former team. But not enough really to get it done. Another outstanding performance on the Pacers was Benedict Mathurin, Canadian. I think we talked about him last week too. He had 34 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists with quite a good shooting percentage. Now, the reason the Pacers, I think, lost this one or kind of faded out near the end was they were 46% from the field as a team, which was pretty bad. I think the Raptors were well above 55. So just a bad shooting there for the Pacers, which is why the Raptors were able to come out on top, and we're okay with that. Another game that night was the Knicks. They snuck past the Pistons 113-111 on a very controversial no call at the end of the game against the Pistons. So what happened was the Pistons were up one with under about 20 seconds, I want to say 15, 20 seconds to play. You know, they were about to get a stop. The Pistons were. Jalen Brunson, I believe Josh Hart missed some two shots, and then the Knicks got the ball back, and Asur Thompson, one of the rookies, his brother Amon Thompson, is also in the NBA on Houston. He's pretty good as well, but they're good defensive players, and he ended up getting a steal late and then was basically dove into by DiVincenzo, I believe it was, on a loose ball, and they didn't call it. They didn't call it at all. As a result, the Knicks got the ball back quick, and I believe it was Josh Hart that got a layup to put them up one and kind of seal the deal for the game with some free throws later on. Now, Monty Williams was pretty pissed off after this one. Very upset about it, for sure, as he should have been. The league and the refs came out after the game and said they did miss the call, which is even more upsetting. So we'll see how that goes, if they'll end up doing something for the Pistons. But as of right now, I feel like it's just it's a done deal. Just quick points in this one. Jalen Brunson, he popped off. He had 34 points and 12 assists for the Knicks. He was kind of the only one doing anything for the Knicks. Again, Julius Randle still out there kind of struggling. And then Cade Cunningham, he had an impressive performance, 32 points, 8 assists. And Jalen Duren on the Pistons, another great young star. They got a lot. He had 11 points and 16 boards. A nice little double-double for him. So that was on Monday. Moving on to Tuesday, we had the Cleveland Cavaliers. They beat the Mavericks on Max Strauss's last-second buzzer beater. This game was electric. Watched the highlights of this one. Didn't get to see it live. I wish I did. The final score in this one was 121-119 for Cleveland. We look at the Mavs here. Luka, he popped off, man. Him and Kyrie had a game. Unfortunately, none of their other teammates did. But anyway, Luka, he had 45 points, 9 boards, and 14 assists. And then Kyrie Irving had 30 points, 6 boards, and 3 assists. And there was only one other guy, one other player on the Mavs that had over 10 points. So that's a bit of a problem. I know Luka's taken, I think he chucked up over 26 shots, which is a lot. Kyrie got a lot too. But again, they're their best players. They should be. But when you don't got bench players or anyone else pitching in that much, it's tough to come out on top, especially against a pretty deep Cleveland team. Now, Cleveland, on the other hand, they had 31 points, 7 boards, and 6 assists. That was Donovan Mitchell. Sorry, he had 31 points, 7 boards, and 6 assists. Evan Mobley had 12 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. And then Max Strauss, who was the first star of the game, if they had those in basketball, he had 21 points and was 7 for 10 from 3 and just simply caught fire in the fourth quarter. I think he had like 2 or 3 threes to put them within reach. And then came down to a game winner. You know, the Mavs scored with about 3 or 4 seconds left on the clock. Luka had a nice penetration and dish, giving his teammate a pretty easy layup. And then Max Strauss just took about, I want to say, maybe 3 steps past his own free throw line and just chucked a 59-footer to win it at the buzzer. It was electric, amazing game. An amazing way to end it off, which was definitely tough for the Mavs to soak. But shout out to Max Strauss for that. So that was on Tuesday. Moving on to Wednesday, February 28th, we had the Lakers beat the Clippers in the Battle of LA, 116-112. Now, LeBron, he had a good night in this one, which was, whenever he plays good, it's usually meaning the Lakers are going to win, but he's getting older, so it's definitely tough to be more consistent with that. But he had 34 points, 6 boards, and 8 assists. Anthony Davis, the brow, who doesn't really have a brow anymore, he had 20 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Now, on the other side of things, the Clippers, Kawhi had his usual 26 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. He's been really steady this year since he came back from his little injury, and he's been playing pretty good. James Harden, he had 23 points, 9 assists. And then Norman Powell, he had 15 points off the bench. Former Raptor, shout out to him. Again, both these teams are pretty good. I think the Clippers are a lot more deep. The Lakers seem to be a little inconsistent with when they show up. Like I said, if LeBron doesn't really show up and Davis doesn't get 30, it's tough for them to win, even with some stars that they have. But they came out in this one, and LeBron, you could tell, really wanted this Battle of Los Angeles game. So shout out to him. So that was Wednesday. Moving on, let's move on to Thursday, February 29th. This was an interesting game. The Spurs beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 132-118 in San Antonio. Now, kind of an upset for sure. Spurs are still finding their way. They're a pretty young team as well. They got the number one pick, Victor Wembanyama. He had a great game in this one. He had 28 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, and was 5 for 7 from 3. Like, this guy is just a scary, scary specimen of a player. Those stat lines are really terrifying, especially with 5 blocks and almost a triple-double. And then shooting 5 for 7 from 3 is just ridiculous. Another player on the Spurs that had a good game, Devin Vassell. He had 28 points and 9 assists, which is, I haven't really heard of Devin Vassell that much. I've been watching much of the Spurs, in fairness, but that kind of surprised me. So I got to look more into that guy for sure from here on out. Look at OKC. They kind of had a brutal shooting night. You know, they were 29% from 3, 48% from the field. In this one, Shai Gilgeous, shout out Canadian, maybe the best Canadian in the league right now, MVP front runner. He had 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists on 50% shooting. Chet Holmgren, on the other hand, he had 23 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists. And then Jalen Williams, they're kind of one of their other better players. He had 23 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists. Now, pretty clear, Wemby won this battle of the new generation of point forwards, one would say, that being the battle between him and Chet. And when I say point forwards, for those of you that don't know, it's kind of that, it's an NBA 2K term, the video game. It's kind of a big man that acts like and moves like a guard, which is exactly what this new generation of bigs are with Wemby and Chet. And it's really scary to see. And for players coming up, if you're not a 7-footer, I mean, oh my God, it must be so hard to play against them. But it's going to be fun to watch for the years to come to see these two go at it. And then, especially if the Spurs can get some help, I think those will be some dynasties that'll have some good battles in the near future. All right, let's keep it moving. Friday, March 1st, we had the Kings beat the Timberwolves 124-120 in OT in Minnesota. This was a pretty tight game. Watch the highlights of this too. It was a rough free throw shooting night, pardon me, for the Kings, but they were still able to pull it out in large part because of Malik Monk. He had 39 points off the bench and 2 threes in overtime to give the edge to the Kings and help them prevail in this one. Now, Domantas Sabonis, he had 21 points, 15 boards, 8 assists, and 3 blocks. Quite an impressive stat line again from him. Jaden McDaniels, when we look at the Timberwolves, he was kind of leading them. He had 26 points, 7 boards, and was 9 for 11 from the field. Good outing from him. And then Rudy Gobert had 16 points, 16 boards, and 3 blocks. A pretty impressive double-double. And Naz Reid had 18 points off the bench for them. It was a pretty close game. Like I said, it was just Malik Monk that took it over. You know, once you get in overtime, you just need a guy who's going, who's hot in the game, that can keep getting you buckets and trust your defense to get the stops. And that's exactly what happened in this one. So it was a pretty great game there. Moving on to Saturday, March 2nd, the final game we're going to talk about in the NBA. This had the Houston Rockets beat the Phoenix Suns 118-109 in Phoenix. Now, both of these teams had a pretty rough shooting night, shooting well below 50%. I believe the Rockets were around 43 and the Suns were around 46 or something like that. But the Rockets starters popped off and were the reason they won in this one, despite Phoenix having quite, I would say, a better skill level or a better team overall. Jalen Green, he led the way for the Rockets. He had 34 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. He's a pretty elite shot creator, I would say. Fred VanVleet, he had 24 points, 5 boards, 11 assists. Shout out to the former Raptor, a nice little double-double there. And then Sengun for the Rockets had 21 points and 10 boards. On the Sun side of things, Kevin Durant, 30 points, 9 boards. Pretty expected from him. Booker, on the other hand, he kind of let the team down in this one. 24 points on 40% shooting. Obviously, not every night can be your night, especially when you're a shooter like that. Sometimes you just run into slumps, and there's nothing you can do. But the third leading scorer on the Suns was Royce O'Neal. He had 20 points and 10 boards off the bench, so tried his best. But this was quite the upset, I would say. Now, not to say Houston's a bad team. You know, they got Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr. They got a lot of gamers. Sengun's been playing great this year. But you expect the Suns to be better. I think everyone would agree with that. You know, they got a lot of salary cap. They got 3 should-be all-stars. You know, I didn't play enough, but Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. So you know, they should be better. But I just feel like they don't really have that much defense, which could be a problem for them, especially heading into the playoffs. But again, you can never count it out. Like, Kevin Durant can take over a game, so can Booker. And Bradley Beal hasn't really proven it yet, but if he's in the role, in a role player spot, he's going to make his shot. So not too worried there. So that was it for the NBA week in review. Let's move on to NCAA. We'll keep this one a little bit shorter. Now listen, as we approach March Madness for both the men and women's tournament, let's take a quick look. I want to take a quick look at the AP top 25 standings for both sides. So we'll start off with the men's. Top 5 currently are Houston number 1, Purdue number 2, Connecticut or UConn number 3, Tennessee, the Volunteers, number 4, and then Marquette at number 5. Now, these are pretty expected. I'm going to talk about Houston in a little bit. I don't really feel like they should be the number 1 that much. I mean, they got a great record, great team, but I feel like Tennessee's pretty strong, UConn's pretty strong. And same with Purdue compared to them, but talk about that in a bit. Now, just to mention some surprises on the men's side of the top 25, South Carolina, 18th ranked. They're 18th ranked, pardon me. This is the first time the school's been ranked since 2017. Now, we know they're predominantly known for their super powerhouse women's program, but it's nice to see that the men's program is attracting some talent and getting on that ranked national stage for the first time in about 5 or longer. That's not really good math at all. 7 years, pardon me, 2024. That's crazy. 2017 was that far away. Wow. In terms of the men's side of things, not many upsets this week. Did watch some good matchups last night. So I'm recording this Sunday night, Saturday night, March 2nd. Tennessee and Alabama played, and it was a pretty good game. Alabama was leading late, but Tennessee, the Volunteers, pulled it out, and they look pretty strong, I'm not going to lie. So that was the men's side of things. That's where it currently stands right now with the top 5 and some surprises there. The women's side, on the other hand, let's look at their top 5. Currently, we got South Carolina number 1 ranked, still undefeated. Ohio State number 2, Texas number 3, Stanford number 4, and Virginia Tech number 5. And Iowa State is just outside of that top 5 with Caitlin Clark. They are 6th ranked. Now we'll talk about them in a second. A few surprises on the women's side of things. The University of Arizona. We talked about this team last week pulling off a big upset. I believe it was over Stanford. They have 14 losses in the Pac-12. So they're not ranked. I think they're 16-14 is their record. They're on the cusp to miss the tournament if they don't really have a good Pac-12 showing. But I feel like if they do get in, they're going to cause some upsets. So I was pretty surprised that they're – I'm not surprised that they're not ranked, but surprised that they're that low and that they have that many losses, especially with quite a talented freshman guard like Jada Williams, who we talked about last week. But that's a surprise for me. But the Pac-12 is a stacked conference. Like, it's hard to forget about that. They got six ranked teams with Stanford being the top, UCLA, Southern California. So some really good programs there. So I would understand how they have that many losses, but I really hope they get into the tournament, Arizona, because I think they could do some damage. Now, the other thing on the women's side, history was made just a day ago, I believe it was, a day or two ago. Iowa and Clayton Clark, shout out to her, they beat Ohio State, number two ranked, with an impressive win. Clark had 35 points, and the most important thing about this one, everybody, was she passed Pistol Pete Mervich as the leading all-time scorer in NCAA for both men and women's basketball. Just making history. We talked about this last week that she was on track. She did it pretty quick. Got those, I think, 79 points we talked about she needed last week. Like, oh my gosh, she just drops 30 balls like it's nothing. But congratulations to her. I'm sure female, male, and all fans of basketball are super excited to see this. And I think, oh my gosh, when she... The tournament, everyone's going to be watching her this year, but when she gets to the WNBA, it's going to be pretty electric, and I hope it brings even more attention and global attention to that league than it already has. Okay, so that's going to do it with the Week in Review. Okay, time to keep things moving along, keep things continuing. No pun intended, on this continuation podcast. It's time for one of the better segments that I do or that we do here on the continuation. It's time for the Dunk or Flunk. Without further ado, let's hop right into it right away. Pretty obvious. Two dunks I got to talk about this week. Two crazy events that happened in the world of basketball. One I literally just talked about, but we'll talk about the other one first. First dunk of the week is going to be Max Strauss's 59-foot game winner. Second longest game winning shot in NBA history since they tracked it. I believe it would be the second longest. It was a heave. But I saw Bleacher Report. What I want to talk about is I saw Bleacher Report on their Instagram posted the longest game winners in history a few days after this. And it brought back a lot of memories for me. I mean, like these games, it was a heartbreaker. Like they definitely, the Cavs didn't deserve it, especially after Luka made such a great play for the Mavericks to get them ahead there. But these game winners, they can cause some heartbreak. It reminded me of the one of the ones Bleacher Report showed was the Devontae Graham 2021 61-foot game winner that he hit for OKC. Like, that was just, oh my gosh. I couldn't imagine even being on the other team and seeing that in the air. And the second one that I vividly remember was the Jeremy Lamb game winner against the Raptors. I think it was our championship year. That one or the year after, but... Oh my gosh, like that was so crazy because he basically lost the ball, for those of you that remember, basically lost the ball and threw it like at least 60 feet in the air or like 50 feet in the air, and it just went backboarded, and it was heartbreaking. It was in Toronto, so I definitely remember watching that one on TV and just being mind blown. So that was our dunk of the week. Max Strauss, gotta give a shout out obviously to Caitlin Clark passing Pistol Pete. That's obviously a dunk, so congratulations to her on that, like we just talked about. But let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the flunk of the week. For me, again, two flunks. I think I got to mention the missed call in the Pistons. And what was it? Pardon me. The missed call in the Pistons and Knicks game that head coach for the Pistons, Monty Williams, was so upset about. I think the league's got to do better. For such a ticky-tack league in terms of fouls, you know, I think near the end of the game, just because the Knicks are higher in the standings and got a bit more star power, I think they, and we're at home, I think they got to do better and make that call, you know. The NBA, again, like I just said, it's very ticky-tack. It's not very physical, right? They don't really let them play as much, especially for the stars. They get all the calls. So I think that was definitely a flunk on the NBA's part, and they owned up to it, which is good and important, but definitely a flunk there. The other flunk I want to talk about was the Houston men's basketball team. I think they barely squeaked past an unranked Oklahoma on the road. They hit a game winner with like 3 seconds left or 5 seconds left. That's back-to-back heartbreaking losses. Or not back-to-back, but two heartbreaking losses for Oklahoma off game winners in the span of like a week and a half or 2 weeks. We talked about one last week against their rival, Oklahoma State. But that's a side note. For me, this is a sign that Houston is going to be kind of a fraudulent number one seed this year. You know, there's always like two fraudulent number ones or two that go quick. Last year was Purdue. That went pretty fast. And another one that's escaping my mind at the moment. But in my bracket this year that I make, and I will definitely share that with the podcast and you listeners, but I don't really have them making it past the Sweet 16 in the March Madness tournament. I think Elite Eight would be the most they would go. Now, listen, they're a great team, but they don't really have last year in the tournament, they had great, great guards. One of them was Marcus Sasser, who was amazing. Now, I think they got some returners, but still not quite the same team, and I think they're kind of feeding off that their last year's success, as they were a really high seed. They were a one seed as well that went far, but it's a different team, and I think they're going to be a fraudulent one, especially just barely beating a pretty unranked and not too great Oklahoma team. It was in Oklahoma, but still. Okay, so that's going to do it for the Dunk or Flunk segment this week. Okay, now it's time to wind things down on this episode of The Continuation. Let's end with our last and the most profitable segment on the podcast. It's the big bets, or the betting segment, where I will give my picks and my thoughts on some parlay boosters that have some good odds, that should have some good odds, obviously, because the odds aren't out yet. That should boost your guys' parlays and hopefully give you guys some locks for the NBA that win you a little bit of money. Again, always bet what you have, bet responsibly, but these are going to be my picks that I'm going to follow through. Now, unfortunately, I still do not have the results from the first episode picks because they were so far in advance, but I will get those results out to you in next week's episode and keep track of our record here on the podcast. We did not bad in the first season of it last year, so we'll try to keep up that streak. I think we were positive, so that's all that matters. Let's not waste time, though. Let's get right into it. Okay, starting with Monday, March 18th. This should be around the time the episode comes out. Monday, March 18th, I'm going to have Sacramento Kings to cover the spread at home in Sacramento against Minnesota. You know, the Timberwolves should be favored in this one because they are still one in the West. I'd assume they would be close to that or near that around the time this episode comes out. So I'm going to have Sacramento to win that. Moving on to Tuesday, March 19th, it's a bad week for the Minnesota Timberwolves because I have the Denver Nuggets to beat them in Minnesota. Denver's a strong team, as we know. I think they're just too much I think they'll overpower the likes of Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and even Rudy Gobert. I mean, Jokic, yeah, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray. I mean, they got a deep team. And they got that Watson rookie now, who's a great defender, great perimeter defender too. So I think it's just really tough. I think he'll be able to give Ant a little bit of trouble, even though he's still very young. Moving on to Wednesday, March 20th, I got the Milwaukee Bucks to beat the Boston Celtics at home. We know the Celtics got a good record. Odds should be close, but I think they should lean towards Boston. I think Milwaukee will win a bit of money here for some bettors. Moving on to Thursday, March 21st, I have the Houston Rockets to beat the Chicago Bulls at home in Houston. You know, Chicago should be favored in this one. They are a better team. Houston's quite low at the bottom of the standings. So is Chicago, and both these teams are out of a playoff spot. But if everybody's playing for the Bulls, Vucevic, Caruso, DeRozan, obviously, former Raptor, shout out to him. I think Houston could get this done. They got Brooks, Van Vliet. They've been playing decent lately, and we talked about them today. They had a good win against Phoenix just last week. So I think they'll take this one against Chicago at home. And finally, Friday, March 22nd, I have the Philadelphia 76ers to beat the LA Lakers in LA. Again, no chance Joel Embiid will be playing, I'm sure, at this time. I think they're saving him to a round or pretty close to the playoffs. But I think Philly, again, Lakers are pretty inconsistent. If home or away, it doesn't really matter. If Davis doesn't really show up, LeBron doesn't really show up or doesn't get his usual, it's very tough for them to win. Unless D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves has a night, which can happen, of course. But I'd predict Philly's going to be the underdog in this one, and I think they're going to steal it at home or at the Lakers' home in LA. Okay, so that's going to do it for the betting segment, and overall, that's going to do it for the full episode here. This was the third episode of the season, the ninth episode overall for the continuation. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this basketball talk. It's going to get more exciting as the weeks go on, as we inch towards the end of the NBA regular season and the March Madness men and women's tournament. We'll try to cover some other news, international news, next week. But that's going to do it, everyone. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the week or rest of your weekend. And as always, keep on hooping. Bye, guys.